Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us quieten our hearts and minds in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, holy and righteous God, this morning we wish to come before you and before your word with this prayer that you will open your word through your servant and give unto us, dear Father, those teachings, instructions, encouragement, rebuke which we may need along the way which leads to heaven. Father, give us each ears to hear and give us hearts to believe that which your Spirit would teach in our midst. Father, we would thank you that we have been given opportunity to gather, that yet in our homeland we are able to freely gather around your word and still preach the gospel message of forgiveness without fear for our life, without fear for persecution. Above all, Father, we would thank you that you have given your only begotten Son in our behalf so that today we are yet able to believe, our sins forgiven, that we are yet able to be your grace children. And Father, we pray as your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before I read a text for our study, I would first want to bring greetings from my home congregation of Monticello and also from Longview, where I was just recently for a couple of weeks for work. It's always good to be able to see in different locations that God's Spirit teaches in the same way, that the Spirit is not divided, that the Spirit is yet what guides God's people. Even as Jesus comforted his disciples before he left from this world, that the Comforter would come, which would teach them in all things. And even with that prayer, that yet this morning the Spirit would be in our midst teaching us. This morning, reading from the Gospel text set aside for this Sunday from the 22nd chapter of Matthew, and we'll read the first 14 verses. And the words are in Jesus' name. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Amen. Our text tells us of one of the teachings of Jesus. He's speaking to Pharisees, and he had prior to this read parable already spoken to them in parables of their condition and of what they had done and what they would come to do. He had spoken to them of the parable of the vineyard, where the husbandman had beat and killed the servants which the householder had sent to see and to receive the fruits of the vineyard. And finally he sent his son, and saying that, "Well, surely they will reverence or honor my son." And they said also that, "Let us kill him so that we can receive his inheritance." And the Lord of the vineyard came and asked that, "Well, what will he do to these husbandmen?" And they said, "He will destroy them and give his vineyard out to be cared for by other husbandmen who will give him the fruits of the vineyard in their seasons." And so he had explained to them already of the prophets. He had explained to them of those whom God had sent to speak in the midst of the Jewish people of that which was to come, of how they were supposed to believe, and they rejected that. They kept the fruit for themselves. They wanted to keep the inheritance of the Son for themselves, and did not want to accept that which the Lord had set aside as their duty, ordained as their duty, but rather took to themselves that which belonged to God. And before this read text, then, it says that they sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. So even those others who were listening to that earlier teaching weren't quite understanding, quite knowing who Jesus was. And so Jesus begins to speak to them again and again in parables. And when we consider these matters of parables, it's many times we hear how Jesus taught in parables so that he would use some normal activity that would be a part of their life and compare it then to things that were spiritual in nature. When his disciples asked him why he taught in parables, he said that to you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to these others. So these parables are a picture of spiritual matters. And here Jesus teaches of the kingdom of heaven. And he says that there was a king, and we can take and see that the king is God. That Jesus is speaking of God. So there is one who is over all. And this king or God then prepared a marriage or a wedding for his son, the Lord Jesus. In the 25th chapter, there is spoken of parable of the 10 virgins, which also they went forth to meet their bridegroom. So it's not the only parable which speaks of a wedding. And in both of these parables, there's different groups of people that went to, or that were asked, invited to the wedding. In this text, it says that the king sent his servants and to call them that were bidden to the wedding. So the servants were sent to the people of God, to the chosen nation of God, to tell them that, come and partake of the wedding feast which I have prepared. And it says that tell them I've prepared the oxen and the fatlings and the food is ready. Everything has been prepared for them. There's nothing more that you have to do. You don't have to bring food with you to this wedding. That's been prepared for by the king. But what happened? It says that they made light of it. So the prophets who were sent to speak to the people of Israel of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the congregation of God, that to invite them to come and partake of this. Come to this wedding. It says that the people made light of it. It wasn't good enough for them. And it says that they went their own way. Some to their one to his farm and another to his merchandise, and they went to the things that they had accumulated for themselves. Perhaps it was their temporal pride that they were drawn to, that surely I must be good enough by myself. Or it was other goods. Perhaps it was their own righteousness. Perhaps it was the things of the world that were spoken of here that they decided that those things were better. Those things were good enough for them. And yet there were some who says that the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. What were the servants of the king like? We could speak of Moses. Moses, whom when God asked him to lead the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, Moses said that I'm not able to. I'm really not very good at talking. And I'm sure that even in our midst here today, there are those who would say that, please don't ask me to speak in front of a group. That's what Moses was like. Moses was afraid, and perhaps he had something in his speech, some kind of defect. Perhaps he was just afraid to be in front of a group to speak of God's will. So he wasn't someone who found in himself such great power to speak to the people. Jeremiah, in the first chapter of Jeremiah, it tells us of his own weakness. In the first chapter, reading from the fourth verse through the eighth verse, or the ninth verse, it says that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So the servants of God, of this king who were sent out to speak to the people, were servants who found themselves weak, who found themselves as a child, as Jeremiah spoke of himself, who found themselves with coarse words, as Paul would speak of himself. He didn't find himself as one who was able to speak eloquently. But yet as in Jeremiah we see that God puts his words in the mouths of the servants. That it isn't the servants' words. When the Spirit of God is speaking, it is God's words. And so this is what God had sent out to the people to say, come to the wedding. And they went their own way, and even in the New Testament it's recorded of Stephen, of how he was stoned when he also wanted to speak of God's kingdom. He wanted to speak of repentance. He wanted to speak of the Savior, and they stoned him. In our time, we have been very fortunate that we have been protected. God has protected us. But yet, to these people, and Jesus is speaking very straightforwardly to the Pharisees here of themselves, of the Jewish people. And he says, This is what they are. This is what they have done. They have departed from God. They have gone their own way. And they have slain, they have treated spitefully the servants of God. And then it says that the king heard of it. And he was wroth. He was angry. He became angry because he saw that his servants had been treated wrongly. He saw that the people had been disobedient, and they went their own ways, and he became angry. And he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Even in a temporal sense, it happened to the city of Jerusalem that the armies of Rome burned up the cities, overcame the Jewish people. But even yet in a spiritual sense, that the spiritual armies of God would overcome those who had been mistreating God's own people. And then he said to his servants that the wedding is ready. The wedding was still on. It wasn't said, well, they didn't want to come, so we're going to cancel the wedding. What would we do if we had prepared a wedding for for our son and his bride, and we invited people and no one came. What would we do? Would we cancel the wedding? Would we say, well, I guess you can't get married? The wedding here was still ready. It was still prepared. And he says, go out. And he says here to the highways and as many as ye find, bid them to the marriage. Perhaps we might not do so for the weddings of our children. Perhaps we might not go down to the corner of the highway and flag down cars and say that, well, why don't you come to the wedding that all of the guests I invited didn't come? Why don't you come? And perhaps some of them would come to the wedding. We don't know that. But this is what we as the Gentile people, we are those who have been called. As many as could be found, invite them to the marriage. And so the Jewish people had strayed and were no longer wanting to come to the marriage feast which God had set. And so he sent an invitation to others. And so the servants went out. And in the time of the New Testament writings, we see that the apostles were sent out and they went and spoke in many, many places to the Gentile people. And they also themselves had discussions about, is it proper that the Gentile people would be able to believe? Is it possible? That was one of the meetings that they had. Is it possible that they can? And so they went out and they preached the gospel. They went and preached the gospel to those who were on the outside, who were Gentiles, who weren't of the chosen people of God. They found those who wanted peace of heart, peace of conscience. They found those who longed for a Savior. They found those who longed for eternal life. And they believed the preached gospel of forgiveness. They came to the wedding. But then this text still tells us of the wedding guests that were there. And it is as in the parable of the 10 virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom. It says that there were 5 wise and 5 foolish. Some were prepared. Some had oil in their lamps. Some had run out. And now it was already at the time of the wedding feast when the doors would be open. The doors would also again close after they had entered in. And the parable of the virgins, when there were some who realized that now we don't have any oil in our lamps, we no longer We no longer have oil. Our lamps of faith have gone out. And they asked then that, can you give us some? Maybe we can buy some from you here now at the very last second. At that point, there wasn't any more to be had. They were told that you'll have to go to the markets to buy your oil, that we have only enough for ourselves. We can't use someone else's faith for ourselves. We can hear the preached gospel message from someone who is believing, but we can't believe, or we can't use their faith for our own. Faith is personal. Faith is something that each one of us has to care for in our own lives. Faith is something that we need to be, as those virgins that were wise, that we have to keep oil in our lamps of faith. Keep oil there. Don't let it run dry, because we don't know when the bridegroom will come. They didn't know. But when they heard that he's coming, but they still didn't know exactly when he was going to show up. And we don't know exactly when the second coming of Christ will be. We don't know. We don't know the exact moment of our death. At the point when death comes, that condition where we are is where we are. So it's important that throughout our life, whether young or old, we find that life still has temptations. We still find that we fall into sin. We still find that the enemy wants to draw us away from God's kingdom. We find that the enemy wants to give us teachings that are contrary to the teachings of God's word. So it's important that we're able to together be able to freely and openly discuss the matters of God's kingdom according to God's word. We don't base our discussions on our own understanding, but God's word, as I mentioned earlier, teaches us of the Holy Spirit, which would teach us in all things. So the Spirit teaches us also of what is contained in God's word. If we go there with our own carnal wisdom to decipher the mysteries of God, the mysteries of His kingdom, the mysteries of His word, we can find in our own mind some understanding, but it isn't necessarily the same as the understanding that the Spirit of God Himself would give. So, in all of these matters, when we consider the work of God's kingdom, we see how important the work of the Spirit is. It gives us the Spirit, it's the power of God Himself, which gives power to forgive one another. It isn't man's power that is a we can say in a temporal sense that, yes, I'm sorry. We can say in a temporal sense that I forgive you. But it's not the same as preaching forgiveness in the name and blood of Jesus. And we as God's people still need to hear that our sins are preached forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. And why is it? And we live as a child of God. We're living as a child of God whose sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. But yet, we're traveling on a journey. We're traveling on a pathway, as the songwriter has written, the pathway of a child of God. It goes through a wilderness. And in that wilderness, we don't know what we're going to run into. We don't know what kind of dust will come upon our feet as came upon the feet of the disciples. And so the blood of Jesus still washes away even the dust of the journey. It heals the wounds of sin, which still affect the child of God. We also fall into sin, and sin is cared for with the gospel message of forgiveness. In our own homes, sometimes we forget to use the gospel of forgiveness. We forget to preach to our spouses, to our children, to our mothers and fathers. But Jesus taught his disciples for a reason that we would wash each other's feet. That we are serving one another in this way. That both one side serves and the other side is washed clean. And so we help each other to be prepared for the wedding. In this text it says that the wedding was furnished with guests and then the king came to see the guests. So on that final day, that day of judgment, God sees everyone. He comes in to see the guests that were invited. And in this parable, it says that he saw a man who had not a wedding garment. He wasn't ready for the wedding. He hadn't prepared himself for the wedding. He was bidden, and he was told what he was invited to, but he came unprepared. He was one of those foolish virgins, we could say, who came unprepared, without faith. And this parable speaks of just one man, but perhaps it's even speaking of a larger group of people. We don't know how many God would see on that final day who are not prepared. But to those, it says that the king asked that, how did you come to the wedding without a wedding garment? Why did you come? Why did you come here without faith? Why did you come not believing? Just imagine, brothers and sisters, that final day when so much has been spoken of, even in this world, and it's been spoken of how the Bible itself has been translated into so many languages, and so many have been sold, and it's been spoken, God's Word has been made known in some fashion all over the world. And then to get to that final day and realize, I'm not ready anyways. I had my own plans, I had my own way, and I'm not ready. This is the condition of this man that the king asked, that how come you're here without a wedding garment? How come you're here without faith? Those things which perhaps have been made fun of, those things which were spoken of that, well, it can't be that way. Those things which were said that, well, it's just a story. And now this man doesn't have an answer. Says he's speechless. I guess it was right after all. But it was too late. It wasn't opportunity at this time anymore to say that, well, can I go get my wedding clothes? Can I go get my oil for my lamp? Can I still have opportunity to put away my sin? That time was over. That time was over. It is as the parable also of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man found himself in torment. And he wanted just a little bit of relief. He wasn't even asking for to be totally released from that torment, but at least send Lazarus to put a little bit of water on my tongue. Not even that was to be allowed. Lazarus is at rest. Well, maybe he can go and talk to my brothers who are still living and let them know that it's really true. Let them go talk to my brothers that they'll know that don't make the same mistake I did. The answer was no. Lazarus is at rest, that they have the law and the prophets. Let them hear them. The law and the prophets. What's contained in the law and the prophets? The law says, if you have sinned, you're guilty. It's that straightforward. If you have fallen into sin, you're guilty. The law says, if you want to use the law to get to heaven, you can't make any mistakes. And so if you say you follow the law and you fall into sin, you don't have opportunity any longer. That's what the law says. It's very, very strict and demanding. The prophets spoke of a message of a Savior. The prophets spoke of a promise that God has promised that He would send. This is what was spoken of in the Garden of Eden. God promised a Savior. Turn away from your wicked ways and repent. This is the message of the prophets. Repent of your sins. Repent of your unbelief. Put on the wedding garment. Put away all sin. This is the message that the rich man was told, that's what your brothers need to listen to. Let them hear them. A message, first of all, that tells that man on his own has no hope of everlasting life. But man, who was able to find the Lord Jesus in the promises of God, there one finds hope of everlasting life. The prophet spoke of the Lord Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who would take away, as John the Baptist would say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is what we, dear brothers and sisters, this morning are able to partake of. Part of the kingdom of God, part of a kingdom where we are able to know that the Lamb of God has been sacrificed in our behalf. The Lamb of God has washed away our sins. The Lamb of God promises to be with us to the end of the world, until we no longer live here upon this earth. And even this morning, the Lamb of God is still available for those who still long to know and hear that their sins are forgiven. Dear brothers and sisters, this morning, young and old alike, uplift your hearts and believe. All sins forgiven in the name and blood of the Lord Jesus. Believe unto peace and freedom and joy of a child of God. Believe as one of those who has been invited to the wedding, and ready for the wedding. Keep your wedding garment until we can be there together with God and with His Son, the Lord Jesus. And my heart also this morning longs to hear that same gospel message. Can I still believe my sins forgiven? Together, brothers and sisters, we travel towards the destination of heaven. And we can travel towards that destination even as such a one of whom the theme for this Sunday speaks of, as the messengers of Jesus. Let us still remember to speak of Jesus to those around us, to those in our own families, to our friends and relatives, neighbors. This is what we also have been given to do. Let us do so with the power of God, the Holy Spirit giving us strength, giving us words as we go forward until our time of work comes to an end. We don't know when our individual lives will end, but we trust that the work of God's kingdom will continue to go forward until God calls all of His own to the heavenly wedding, where we can rejoice forever with no more fears, no more doubts, and no more worries. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.